Chapter 26. When LP got home from the studio, he began to pace around, feeling bored. He wasn't bored. He was anxious about the next steps. He couldn't explain why he was fixated on those glitches. As he and Atman compared digital songs to their analog versions, they'd found more than a few. Within a short period of time, they had uncovered at least a couple of dozen tracks that had very tiny variations. He tried to practice a little. No success. He tried to do a little music theory studying. Zip. He tried reading for a while. Zilch. Maybe he should go out or call up his friends, he thought to himself. Nope. I'm going to check in with Gaia. He sat at his computer and entered an array of abstract questions. Who's the best guitarist of all time? Describe nature. Can you write a song? Can you write a song in another language? Please write about animal habitats. What constitutes language? Can bees speak? What about whales? Write me a story about bioluminescence. The responses all seemed very curious to him. They felt like the worst version of mansplaining he'd encountered in a while, where there was a lot of bullshit being thrown around and no real definitive answers. For the guitarist question, he got a list of 100 of the greatest guitarists, all of whom were now creeping up on their 70s. It was as if FM radio DJs were the only contributors to the research that Gaia used as references. Where was Nels Klein of Wilco, or even the Edge of U2? He wasn't sure why he veered into the topic of nature, and again the responses felt very diplomatic, as if Gaia was speaking to a massive crowd and was trying to please every single participant. So far, LP wasn't too overwhelmed with the power of Gaia until he read the response related to bioluminescence. Bioluminescence? A short story. The night was pitch black. The moon, nothing but a sliver in the sky. A hint of light that illuminated nothing in the darkness, making it hard to follow the path. Gaia, LP, Dion, and Faith walked on undeterred, their path lit by the occasional glint of starlight. They kept strolling, following the shoreline, until finally they stumbled upon a sight that could only be described as magical. The sand was glowing, a vibrant, ethereal blue. It was as if they had stepped into a dream, something they could have only imagined, yet here it was, this incredible beauty before them. They stood there, awestruck, unable to comprehend what it was they were seeing. Slowly, they approached the shore, taking each step with caution, fearful that this might all be a dream. But this was no dream. The sand really was aglow with a mysterious, bioluminescent blue. As they approached, they saw the source of the sapphire light. It was coming from tiny creatures buried in the sand. They were like glowworms, only 1,000 times more dazzling. Hundreds of them, twinkling and glimmering like little stars, creating a heavenly, illuminated landscape before them. It was like the Milky Way was at their feet. The four of them slowly lowered themselves onto the sand so as not to disturb the creatures, and for the next few minutes, they simply stared, mesmerized by the breathtaking sight before them. The blue light of the creatures seemed to be everywhere, painting the shoreline in an endless array of cobalt hues. It was a light that could not be described. Faith tried to capture it in her photographs, but the pictures could never do it justice. The beauty of the glowing beach could only be truly appreciated with the naked eye. It was a sight that could only be found here, in the remotest of places, and LP realized that this was something he would likely never see again in his lifetime. The four of them sat there for hours, simply taking it all in, appreciating the wonders of nature. As the sun slowly began to rise, they reluctantly got up and made their way back up the shoreline, not wanting the moment to end but knowing that it must. And so, the four of them left, with the image of the luminous beach etched in their minds forever, a reminder of the remarkable beauty that exists in this world, if only we take the time to pause and look. LP read the passage a few times and was stunned by the spontaneity of the writing, but also how the text carried a sense of heart to it. He had heard many times that artificial intelligence platforms were incapable of conveying emotion and sentiment, but this seemed like a first for him where Gaia had heart. This was the kind of stuff he was seeking. He was totally distracted now from the glitch that he and Atman had discussed, and was now keener than he had been to tend to his schoolwork. One of his projects was to write a performance piece about the oceans and nature and all the questions about our natural surroundings. After reading Gaia's piece on bioluminescence, he found an article online about the Earth's oceans and was feeling a little overwhelmed by humanity's terrible treatment of the vast tracts of water that give everything on the planet life. He was so overloaded he could barely process it. Perhaps writing a poem or a song about the subject would help him sort out his emotions. Sometimes it did. But the words seemed to elude him. So, he gave Gaia a try. He used a few prompts, specifying iambic pentameter, that wonderful rhyming scheme of William Shakespeare, and instructing it to describe first the beauty of the oceans, then the wonder of the creatures that inhabit the oceans, and then the cruelty of humans and their abuse of the world's waters. He was more than a little stunned by the response. Part 1. The Ocean's Grand Embrace. Upon the shore I stand, in awe I gaze, at endless blue, where sky and ocean merge, a world beneath the waves forever plays, and beckons me to depths where secrets surge. The tides do rise and fall, a rhythmic dance, as moon above directs the surging sea. In harmony, they share eternal trance, a lover's waltz of pure serenity. The sun ignites the break of dawn's first light, as sparkling gems of water kiss the shore. The dusk retires, replaced by starry night, to grant the ocean's lullaby once more. O boundless force, thy mystery profound, eternal beauty in your depths is found. Part 2. Creatures of the Depths, a Symphony Divine. Behold the creatures, great and small, unite in vibrant hues and shapes of grand design, from coral reefs, where life does burst so bright, to darkest depths, where ghostly beings shine. The mighty whale, with heart as vast as sea, does sing a mournful song of ancient lore, while dolphins frolic, filled with joyous glee, their laughter heard for miles along the shore. The clever octopi, their limbs entwined, embrace their prey, with camouflage so sly, yet seahorse gentle, tender love doth find, in fragile dance, beneath the azure sky. An oceanic symphony divine, these creatures weave a tapestry of time. Part 3. Besmirched beauty, humanity's disgrace. Alas, what horrors hath this age unfurled upon the ocean's once untainted breast? With vile intent, mankind doth stain the world, and in pursuit of wealth, mars nature's best. From shallow waves to trenches deep and dark, man's waste does spread like poison through a vein. A plastic plague on creatures leaves its mark, their lives now bound in artificial chains. The sharks, once kings beneath the briny blue, reduced to finless corpses, drift away. Their sanguine tears the waters stain anew, as human greed doth blindly hold its sway. O wretched race, how canst thou bear such blame to desecrate the source from whence we came? Part 4. The Corporate Plague. Who are these faceless foes that claim domain? These lords of industry who rule with pride, their blackened hearts devoid of guilt or shame, do cast aside the laws which they deride. Progress, they claim, as chemicals seep through the ocean's vast expanse, so pure before. Prosperity, their cry, while life is skewed by toxic touch and countless species mourn. Behold the oily stains upon the shore, where seabirds choke, ensnared by death's embrace. The coral wilts, its colors lost for sure, as corporate giants leave their toxic trace. These heartless men, their wealth their only guide, will damn the seas unless we turn the tide. Part 5. The Healing Call, a Vision of Hope. Awake, ye dreamers, let our hearts unite in common cause to heal the briny deep, no more to stand and watch the ocean's plight, but rouse ourselves from apathy's cheap sleep. Awake, we cry, Let action be our creed. Let voices rise in chorus from the sea to purge the waters of their toxic need and cast aside man's dark malignancy. Restore, we plead, the vibrant life we've lost. Return the balance to the world below, with every creature, great and small. The cost of human want must cease, a truth we know. Unite, we call, in purpose, pure and brave. Together, we shall mend the wounds we gave. Alas, my friends, I speak with fervent breath, must we not stand against this vile offense? For if we do not act and face our death, what hope remains for creatures without defense? Take heed, we say, and join me in this quest to cleanse the ocean's depths from all despair. Each hand that lends its strength, each voice expressed, shall start to mend the damage done, we swear. Renew, we urge, the beauty we have marred. With every step, each choice we make anew, from humble homes to policies unbarred, we'll forge a future where our seas run true. Awake, restore, unite, our battle cry. For Earth's salvation, we shall live or die.